Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Hurting to Healing. I'm glad you're here. It's Tuesday. I was just going to say Monday. It feels like a Monday. It's been a crazy day. I had a crazy start to the day. So I just want to say, I'm so glad that we're here. This is where I get to kind of settle in with you. And it's just always a great place for me to come in and just be with you with like minds, like hearts, and things like that. So thank you for tuning in. to tell you this morning, so last night I went to bed and just didn't sleep good. I went to bed at 10. I woke up at midnight feeling like I had already slept the whole night through, and I'd only slept 2 hours. It took me till, I'm guessing, 1 o'clock to fall back to sleep. I'm awake again at 3:30. I look at the clock at 4, and I'm like, okay, God, please help me. I've got another hour and 45 minutes before my alarm goes off. Please help me get some sleep. And I woke up, and my body just ached. My back was sore. I didn't sleep good or sleep right. And we had the flu bug in our house over Thanksgiving. So 3 out of the 6 of us got sick. And so I think I was still kind of maybe dealing with some of that. And all of a sudden, I look at my clock, and it said 6:36 a.m. And I have to be out the door with my kids, 45, to get them on the bus for 7. My kids, they were just troopers this morning. We were able to, we ate our pancakes on the way, frozen pancakes, threw them in the microwave, got out the door. They brushed their teeth, put their deodorant on, did their hair. I got their lunches packed, and I went in my PJs, of course. So good thing there was no car accident, but that's how my day started. And so I am so thankful that it's coming and winding down to the end, and I'm so looking forward to going to bed tonight. So we are going to, I'm going to just try to calm down a little bit more. And it's just a hectic day. The rest of my day just went hectic. But like I said, I'm glad I'm here with you. This is one of the places I enjoy coming to. So if this is your first time tuning in, as always, I like to say welcome. I'm glad you're here. I hope that you find this to just be a safe place where no one needs to know that you're listening, and hopefully get some healing, moving from that hurting place that we're in sometimes, and come out with a little bit more healing in our lives. And if you are someone who's been tuning in, you know, we have been here the date today. I'm all out of sorts, the 27th. We've been here for 4 years. We started off weekly, and I cut that back, and then kind of, you know, we were at a 2-hour increment. Now we've cut back to an hour. Hopefully we'll get through tonight's show in an hour. And then we started doing seasons where we just went September through May and took the summers off. So this is actually, if we break it up into seasons, this is our 5th season together. But for 4 years full, November 18th, I think. So thank you. Thank you for being so faithful and always coming back to listen to hear what it is, the topic we're gonna talk about. So, again, as always, we're live. So if ever you want to share anything and you're calling in from your telephone, you just hit number 1 and that unmutes you and lets me know that you want to share something or have a question. And if you're streaming it through your computer and you want to pick up the phone and call, you can dial 347-934-0379. And again, you hit 1 to unmute yourself. And the majority of you listeners, though, tune in after the show and download it on podcast. So thank you for doing that as well. If you are still interested, like I told you, I've been telling you kind of in each of our shows since we started up this season that I will be ending in May. So if you are interested in wanting to share your story on this particular program, Hurting to Healing, all you have to do is send me an email. It's genesis5020m@gmail.com. I'll send you a little bit of paperwork and find a date that works after I get to chat with you a little bit. And you can share your story, share your voice. I always think it's great to do that. I always say it brings healing not only to your life a little bit more, but to others as well. So, and it encourages people to when they hear someone else's story, it gives them encouragement and courage to speak up and share their story as well. So I encourage you to do that. The next time we get together is going to be Tuesday, December 11th. I'm not sure yet what we're going to do there. Something Christmas. I may do a rebroadcast that I did with Gus. I think it was last year maybe or the year before. I've been thinking about that. Or maybe we'll just do a new one on Christmas. I'm not too sure yet. So I've got to get that figured out. But either way, it'll be Tuesday, December 11th. And so before we get into our show, let's say a word of prayer together, and then we'll get going. I came across today perfect verses for what we're actually going to be talking about tonight. So I'd like to just pray those verses, and then we'll begin. So, Lord Jesus, I just come before you, and I just thank you. I thank you that you're there to not only hear us, but listen to us, and to go before our Father in heaven and petition for us. Anything that we bring to you, our worries, our cares, our adoration, Lord, I just thank you that you are there. No matter what time of day or night, no matter if it's a good day or a bad day, you're always there for us. I believe your word when you say that you are one that sticks closer than a brother, and I thank you for that. And Lord, tonight as we talk about guilt again, Lord, I love your word where you have told us in 1 John 1:9, where I came across that today, if we tell him our sins, if we tell you our sins, you are faithful and we can depend on you to forgive us of our sins. You will make our lives clean from all sin, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you are the one who takes away our sins. It's no one else. No one else has been declared or deemed that they're the ones who get to judge whether we're worthy or not, or sinless or not. Or I thank you, Lord, that you're the one. And so, Lord, we come to you tonight seeking you, seeking your faith, seeking your forgiveness. And I thank you for that. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. So we originally did this show, Disfellowshipped equals Guilty as Charged, or I remember it was Guilty as Charged equals Disfellowshipped. Can't remember exactly how I had titled it. Back in February of 2016. It was February 23rd, 2016. And we ended up deleting that show. And reason being was there was this precious woman who called in at the end of the show, and she shared just so openly and transparently about her, where she was just at presently, and her experience after leaving the organization. And shortly after that, this precious woman passed away. And there were some family members that had expressed some concern about the podcast. Someone had sent the children the podcast, and they were not happy about it. So out of respect of them and what they were going through, and with just keeping in line with like I always say, this being a safe place for all, we ended up pulling that show. And it had that precious woman's voice at the end of the show. And some of the things that she had shared was how guilty she felt after leaving the organization. And I'll never forget her saying she was wondering if her mind, if her brain would ever be washed clean from all the false doctrines. And I was blessed enough to get to chat with her via email and phone, and then just when she did do this, shared on the program. And when we did this show 2 weeks ago, releasing guilt, I had suggested for you to go and listen to this show, and I was then notified that we had deleted the show. So I thought, well, we could do the show again, and hopefully it will be helpful to some of you tuning in now, and those of you that will tune in the future. hopefully some of the just the passages of scripture and just sharing, my personal experience will maybe help encourage you, kind of in the same thing, releasing guilt, getting rid of that. So, and just to go back to what this woman had said about wondering if her mind or her brain would ever be washed clean, I'll never forget her saying that. Like, so this was in, I think, what did I say, 2016? I hope I have the year right. But I remember getting teary-eyed over that, because I remember at that moment, and now I'm thinking even fast-forwarding 2 years, the things remember. And so knowing that there was victory in sight, and it's heartbreaking that that she didn't get to, go on living so much longer past that, to experience. I know and I believe she had victories in so many areas, but I think that's one of those areas where we wonder, will we ever be washed clean from those false doctrines? And I'm here to tell you, yes, yes, indeed. God does do that, and it's miraculous, and it's a healing work that only He can do. And I've experienced it, and there's just things I don't remember, and I have to go and look it up, going, what did I believe about that, and what is it they teach about that? And I'm so thankful for that, because I don't want nor need those false doctrines in my head. Yes, it's helpful if you're trying to, inform people and kind of teach them, how to counter those things, absolutely. But there's a different washing where it's just like you just don't want it there, because you don't want to get tripped up. You don't want to have to worry about, could I fall for that again, So there's definitely a complete washing. So that's why we're doing this show again. So I'm just going to go through pretty much, I've got a couple other things I'm adding, but for the most part, we're just kind of repeating that show, so we have it in our archives for people to listen to. So one of the things that I had encouraged was that for you to go and listen to a particular song called Grace Wins, and it's by Matthew West. It's called Grace Wins, and there's a couple verses in the song. It starts off, it says, "In my weakest moment, I see you shaking your head in disgrace. I can read the disappointment written all over your face." And I know we've all experienced that with family or friends that we have left or have told we were leaving the organization, or even I know personally, feeling that's how God is looking at me, that He's shaking His head in disgrace at me. And the next verse says, "Here comes those whispers in my ear saying, who do you think you are? Looks like you're on your own from here, because grace could never reach that far." And yeah, as we go through tonight, share some things. Yeah, I remember feeling that, you know, who do you think you are? You know, I'm too far gone that there's no hope for me, you know. But it says, but in the shadow of that shame, beat down by all the blame, I hear you call my name saying, it's not over. And so tonight I'm here to tell you and say, it's not over. And then it goes on to say, there's a war between guilt and grace, and they're fighting for a sacred space. And so that's exactly what's going on. There's a fight. And so you can choose to live in guilt, or you can choose to accept grace. It's up to you. And another line says, a broken side begins to heal, and grace returns what guilt has stole. And that's what I want for you in your life. I want that broken side to begin to heal, and I want you to allow grace to return what guilt has stolen from you for way too long, way, way too long. Okay, so I encourage you to look that song up and listen to it. Really listen to the words, and I really like it. Again, it's called Grace Wins by Matthew West. So if you've got a pen and paper, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight because I want you to, after the show, I want you to go through these verses and really sit with them and sit with God. And these are his words, and this is truth. And that's how we're going to begin to transform our minds, is by putting truth into us and believing that. So the first, our reference for tonight is 1 Corinthians 15, 56 through 58. And I'm going to read this to you from the New Living Translation, the NLT. It says, for sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And then here it is in the message. I kind of like how this, they put it. It says, it was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank God. I love that. In a single victorious stroke of life, Jesus being that life, all three, sin, guilt, and death, are gone. And you can live out your life that way. Again, your choosing. It's your choosing. We are made free. We are free in Christ, but don't choose Christ. Maybe you're at a point where you're going, yeah, here we go again. There's more Jesus stuff and more religious stuff, or, well, this is how I've chosen to live my life, and this is what I do believe is true, is God's word, and I've found that this has been the best path for me. And so I encourage you to, I would hope that you would want to be freed from guilt and the chains that bind us. And Christ is the only way for that to happen. So I apologize to those of you that have heard my story before, my disfellowshipping story, but it goes along with this episode. So bear with me. I'll try to just give the quick little snippets of it, so that I don't have to bore you again with it. But all of this came out of a time doing this particular show came out of the time and years of time of wanting to get rid of this guilt. And because I did stand guilty as charged for what I was being, you know, accused of by the Jehovah's Witness organization. There was no denying it. I became pregnant. And I mean, obviously, you get pregnant, you show that you're pregnant. And so I was guilty. I was guilty as charged. There was no way to hide it or get around it, you know. So, you know, here I am. I'm pregnant. I've got this moment on the phone where I'm on the phone with an elder and appears two elders on the phone. It ends up being like a conference call or a three-way call back in the day. And I'm, you know, near the very end of my pregnancy. And I've got these two elders who are just badgering me over the phone, and I was in tears and very distraught. And my mom actually had come over at the time, and I was living in this tiny little half-bedroom apartment is what I call it. It's just this tiny little hole-in-the-wall place. It's all I could afford at the time. And my mom comes. And she grabs the phone, you know, from me, and she starts yelling at the elders, you know, saying to them, you know, how dare you, you know, talk to her this way. You know she's pregnant. You've got her all upset. So in that split moment, there is my mom, my saving grace. And the long and short of it, they asked me to write a letter that if I didn't have a letter written to them by the next meeting, that then I would be disfellowshipped. I did write the letter. I put it in the mailbox. They said they never got the letter, and they disfellowshipped me anyway. So I had Chelsea. She was born in 1993. And it was I'm so not good with dates and numbers and math. 98, 5 years later, I would face these same elders, at my dad's funeral. My dad wasn't a Jehovah's Witness. It was at a funeral home, and, so it was 5 years. I was disfellowshipped, and it was 5 years later that I see these two elders who were badgering me on the phone. And they confronted me, and they told just a blatant lie right in front of my mom and other family members. I remember being so distraught, and I was upset because my dad wasn't given the type of funeral that he deserved. You know that if you've been to a Jehovah's Witness funeral, it's not about the individual. It's about another opportunity of witnessing and spreading their false doctrine. So I was really upset about that. And I had a couple, you know, aunts and uncles, cousins, mixture of people saying, you know, Melissa, you wouldn't be this upset if you just come back, if you just start coming back to the Kingdom Hall, you know, things would be better. And so in and amongst all this chaos, these two elders come up and they say that they have tried to reach out to me during this 5 year time. And, oh, we've, you know, come to you. And I'm thinking, how could you come to me? You didn't even know where I lived. But needless to say, they confronted and said that they tried reaching out to me at least once a year since I was disfellowshipped. So that would have been five times that they had tried to connect with me to try to get me to come back, which was a lie because they didn't even know where I live. But so all of that plays into some future things that end up happening as well. So here it is. It's 1998. Mike and I just got married that July. My dad passed away in November, so so it's 98. I don't come into having a relationship or, you know, wanting to do this whole God thing, Jesus thing until 2004. So all these years, I'm guilty. I wear it on my face. I wear it as a cloak all the time. Guilty, 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 you know? And I think any one of us, no matter what a situation is, guilt is a subject that affects us all. And guilt is a feeling that we've all experienced, maybe even today or last week or last month. Guilt is the feeling that tells us that something is wrong. And guilt is that now knowing what you did is not right, that in fact it is wrong. And like I said, I remember living in that guilt every single day. And it's a weight. It's just a daily companion. And it's something that you wear. It's something you think that you can hide or you can just simply shake it off. And I think sometimes you can for periods of time. But guilty, by definition, I like to look up definitions of words. Guilty is having knowingly committed a crime or offense or having violated a law by an overt act or by neglect, and by that act or neglect being liable to punishment, not innocent. Wicked, corrupt, sinful. Another definition, conscious. So I've said this before. I think I said it on the Releasing Guilt episode. Guilt, I think, to a degree, is okay. It makes us aware. It makes us conscious of the choices we've made. So guilt, wrong. So in a certain degree, it's okay when, like in the situation where I'm speaking from, I was guilty for what I did, and there was no hiding it. I was liable to punishment, but I'm going, okay, but by who and what and by whose standard, right? So I think that when you are a Jehovah's Witness, that guilt is magnified and you sit behind a magnifying glass. And I think, I know that when you are deemed guilty as a Jehovah's Witness, you will forever, ever carry it with you all the time. And there will be individuals that will not let you forget it. And you will always be looked down upon. It's just the way it is. And Satan likes to use people to give you that fresh reminder of why you should continually feel guilty about what you did. And it's just a constant companion that you will have to learn to deal with, live with, if you remain a Jehovah's Witness. Because as a Jehovah's Witness, you have one of two options. I'm just going to sum it up in one of two options. You can go before a judicial committee where your future is decided by men. Okay, you're guilty, so now this is what you're going to have to do to work your way back into good standing. Okay, that can mean going to the meetings for whatever determined amount of time that they want to place on you, and you will be sitting in the back of the Kingdom Hall and you will not be talked to. That's what it's going to look like. Then there may be that progression of I don't know if they do it now. Again, I always speak from the perspective of my life from way back when. Then you can start getting talked to, and then you can start to, you know, answer at the Kingdom Hall. All these different things that you can do to just move your status up, so to say. Or option number two, just, you know, be disfellowshipped. You get to exercise 1 Corinthians and stop keeping in company with anyone and remove that person from you, you know. So those are your two options. You know, it's really funny, too. Did we read this one already? Let's see. I got a note here, an extra little side note. Okay. This was our first scripture that we opened up with. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:56-57 says, "And the law which reveals our sins will no longer be our judge. How we thank God for all of this. It is He, God, who makes us victorious through Jesus Christ." Okay, so that was our opening scripture. And so what I have here is, if you go back and you look at the law into the Old Testament, you can look at Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, read them all. You're going to see all these different offerings. You're going to see burnt offerings, grain offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, right? And so I found this interesting. I found this one site. I hope it's reputable, although I didn't write the site down, but sorry. But this is what I found. Okay, so hopefully I have it right. If I don't, please forgive me. I'll have to go back and correct it. But it said here, offering. Why is a burnt offering given? A burnt offering is to atone for intentional sin. Okay, you intentionally went and sinned and did this. I was intentional. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do it, right? Intentional sin, okay? And what they needed to bring forth for this offering was either a bull, a ram, or a goat, or a dove, or a pigeon. Okay, so I'm intentional in this sin. I'm going to set out. I'm going to do it, right? Okay, so now to be absolved from this, I'm going to have to bring this forward, okay? This is law stuff, okay? Law, 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 okay? A guilt sin offering is tones for accidental sins, okay? So a guilt sin offering, so that's what we're going to focus on because that's what we're talking about. So it's an accidental sin, okay? So I begin to process this whole thing, okay? I became pregnant. Was this an intentional sin or was it accidental? Got to take ownership for this. Okay, right? Okay, so anyway, just letting you know what goes on inside my brain. So guilt sin offering, it's to atone for an accidental sin. Now, it's a little bit different here. If a priest or the entire community enters in and does this accidental sin, they have to bring a bull, okay? If it's a ruler of some sort and they enter into this accidental sin, their guilt sin offering is to be a male goat. And then if it's an individual, so common everyday people, they could choose one of the following options: a female goat or a female lamb, two pigeons or doves, or two quarts of flour. I almost feel like I'm singing that one Christmas song for some reason. Was it Partridge in a Pear Tree? You know, the numbers keep going. Okay, sorry. So that is that was the law, okay? So there's different types of offerings for the guilt sin offering that was out there. Like I said, if you want to read more about them, you can head to Leviticus and they'll be all there for you. But see, the wonderful thing is where the power is, where the victory is over it all, Christ Jesus, and it's called grace. And so sin equals death, and we'll go through some of those verses. But the thing is sin took aim at the law, took aim at the code, the rule, the command, and began to use its power, okay? And it began to do it in evil ways and come up against those then and those now who set out to follow this law, God's law, God's way. And those that set out to believe in God, the Creator, those individuals that began to believe in the promises that God spoke and set before his people, again, Satan, he began to attack the laws, attack the rules, attack the commandments by making those very things seem okay, look appealing, look enticing to us. He began and he has continued to manipulate what was meant for good and twist it into something evil by making it appear good, making us want these other things more so than the goodness that God has for us. Again, making us want those very things that God knew weren't good for us, that God knows will destroy us, that God knew that the enemy would use against us, against you and against myself at any chance he could get. Why? So he could make us feel guilty. So I'm back to, is this an incidental sin or is this an intentional sin? And I'm thanking God that I don't have to bring these bulls or rams or goats or pigeons or flour anymore. And see, and that's the point where you get to choose and begin to cope. I shouldn't say cope, deal, because we do go through coping mechanisms. So here I am. I'm guilty. I'm charged guilty, and I agree with it. I couldn't lie. I had to face it. And like I said, years and years later, so the sentence, according to the Jehovah's Witness organization, is you're a fornicator. You've committed fornication. You're guilty of having sex before marriage. There's no way to hide it, like I said, because now I'm pregnant. So I stood guilty as charged. And my punishment had to come in the way that the organization had laid it out to me. The law. They had a law. They had a standard. They had rules. They had guidelines. Like stated before, you get one of two options. You get disfellowshipped. You're out of here. You're going to be shunned. Or you can do these works and work your way back. There's a law. No different than like what I was just explaining to you back in the Old Testament times. There, you did this. If it was an intentional sin, you bring this to the altar. If it was an accidental sin, you bring this to the altar. That was the law, okay? Bound by the law. So here I stood. I'm sorry in my heart. And thought, and knew, I shouldn't say thought, I knew that I was truly sorry. But yet I was deemed and told that my sorry wasn't good enough, that it needed to be followed up with some works. Man-made rules, man-made laws, man-made works. You're not sorry enough. We're deeming you not sorry enough. So what do you do with that? What do we do with that feeling of guilt? Well, like I said, over time, I began to cope with my guilt. I coped with it with alcohol. I coped with it by continuing in a sexual lifestyle. I coped with it by ignoring it. I coped with it by denying it. Denial is a trap, and it will hold you there for a very long time. Denial in itself, not just in something you're necessarily guilty of, but denial of things that you don't want to address, you don't want to approach, you don't want to confront. Denial keeps us hidden. Denial keeps us in the dark. So over time, as you learn to cope with your guilt, for me, I kind of became numb to it. And when guilt begins to rise up, I immediately resorted to my coping mechanisms. Ask yourself, how do you cope? How do you numb things? Is it through alcohol? Is it through gambling? Is it through shopping? What is your substance of choice to numb your guilt? Guilt has two aspects to it. emotional and legal. I was experiencing the emotional state or stage of it, and the elders wanted to invoke the legal side of guilt according to their guidelines set up in the organization. I broke a moral code. So again, I stood guilty. The emotional guilt that I was feeling, which I didn't realize at the time, was the outcome of the spirit that God gave me. I'm going to say that again. The emotional guilt that I was feeling, which I didn't realize at the time, was the outcome of the spirit that God gave me. Remember how we're always told, oh, you don't have a soul, oh, you don't have a spirit? False, false. You do have a soul, you do have a spirit. The emotional guilt that I was feeling was a direct result, was a direct outcome of the spirit that God gave me. It is the spirit side, the spirit within that causes us to know that a wrong has been committed. Not someone constantly pointing a finger at you and deeming you guilty and deeming you wrong and saying you're not worthy and saying you're not sorry enough. No. God and His Spirit will make you fully aware when you have sinned. So here I am, though, where more of my confusion began to just unravel. Like I said, when you're told that you're not sorry enough, so in essence, I'm being told my emotion is not valid or of any importance. So I begin to say, well, what is enough? Well, works, of course, right? That's how we're programmed. So it isn't enough for me to go, oh my goodness, I am so sorry I did this. My heart is truly aching, truly repentant. Nope, that's not valid. That's not important enough. Oh, what do I got to do? What's going to be enough? What is going to be enough? Go knock on more doors, go to more meetings, straighten up a bit, walk the fine line. We're programmed that way. When you are told that you need to keep a clean and moral conscience, and you know that you've just violated that code, where do you go with that? Well, you can continue to ignore and cope, or you can face the reality of it. The reality being what I did wrong. And with that, more questions came, more thoughts came, more feelings began to rise up inside of me. Like, is it wrong? And if it's wrong, and what do I mean by this? Again, in the context of where I was coming from, is it wrong? Is it wrong for me to have sex before marriage? And if it's wrong, who said it was wrong? Because remember, I'm 18 years old. I'm disfellowshipped. I go all the way until I'm 30 years old, not giving a rip about God, angry at God, not knowing if I wanted to believe anything in the Bible. So, in living the life that I was living, is it really wrong? Is it really wrong to have sex before marriage? Was I gonna go along with the norm of, oh, that's in the Bible, that's old, that's so archaic, that doesn't apply anymore, whatever else is out there. Oh, well, we're getting married, so we can just still continue to live this way, and it's okay. God will forgive me, right? Okay, so is it wrong? If it is, who said it was wrong? Was it these men in the Jehovah's Witness organization? Were they the ones who set the rule, who set the standard, who set the guideline? Or was it God? And if it's God, well, I'm not going to face Him. Because why? Because He's already mad at me as it is, because I left the organization. So, He's turned His back on me, so So I'm turning my back on him. So now what? Now what are you left with? Still, guilt, this weight. Am I going to continue to cope? What am I going to do? So because I get to a point and think, if God says I'm wrong, if he says I'm guilty, if he says I've sinned, and I know enough, I still believe enough to know or believe what I was taught, that sin leads to death. And so, because my mind's still thinking and believing what I was taught, so they, the organization, were they really right all along? I'm going to die in my sin for the sin I committed, and I will not survive. So again, I'm just going to die at Armageddon. Is that really my outcome? So I continue to pile on more and more sin, more than I can bear, day in, day out, numbing, ignoring, and I'm stuck. And I just can't handle it anymore. My sins took on different forms. No longer alcohol, no longer being promiscuous, but now I'm married. And all the sinful things of how I treated my husband, the disrespect, the foul mouth, the submission, that wasn't even in my vocabulary back then. I'll never forget the day I laid the weight down that I was carrying. I remember coming that day. It was the day of my salvation where I came face to face with the one who set the law, who set the moral code. It wasn't set by these men, these ones that I was so angry at, and I harbored so much anger and hatred towards them, realizing they weren't the ones who set the standard, but that the standard was in place by God, the one I was now facing. Deep down, I knew that, but I denied it. I made excuses. I believed lies that God had turned his back on me. And here in this moment, he was saying, I've got you. I've got this. It's covered. I've got this covered. God's saying to you, I've got this. I've got you. I've got this sin of yours here. I've got it covered. So here I find myself owning up and admitting, yeah, something's wrong. That I've sinned. And that now my tears and my I'm sorry's are now considered worthy. They're good. They're accepted by the one that it truly matters with. And that's God. He's saying, I believe you. I believe your I'm sorry's. Think about it. Coming face to face with God, I'm sorry. And he says, I hear you. I know. I was needing so much help. I needed to be saved from the wrong that I had done. In that moment, too, is where I began to see the legalistic side of things. The legalistic position that the Jehovah's Witness organization has taken, and their depravity, their denial of grace, and denying Christ, and denying the work, denying the death. His crucifixion of dying for my sins. And I'm slowly coming to an understanding and seeing a bigger picture, and I realize I'm beginning to believe in God again, and that I don't want to answer to him, or that I do want to answer him rather than man. And realizing man is not God. And these people are not God's people. They are not God's chosen earthly organization. And I'm in awe at this hand that's stretched out to me, a hand of acceptance and forgiveness stretched out to me, the one in the wrong, me, the sinner. I realized that I just didn't want to just cope any longer or fill a void with busyness or work or fake things. I realized in that moment I wanted a savior. I wanted to be free. Like I said before, there's a fight in that song. It says there's a fight between guilt and grace, and there's a pull in your life when it comes to guilt. And we don't want to face the reality of guilt because we feel bad. And I get that. But again, you can choose your reality. You can choose the reality of, okay, I'll be a Jehovah's Witness and this is what I'm going to have to do. Or you can and be given the law, the options in choosing what they have for you. It's no different. When I look at these burnt offerings and guilt and sin offerings, determining, well, was it intentional or was it accidental? And if it's this, you bring this. And if it's this and that, you bring that. Oh, it's exhausting. But no, you get to make a choice. And the reality is going back that way, you're never fully loved. You're partially loved. You're partially accepted. God is not in them. God is not for them. God is grace. And it's grace. It's God who is waiting to fully accept you and love you, not in part, but in whole. All of you. All of you. And so I come across scripture, and it says, Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I come across Mark 7:20-23, and says, and what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit. And it goes on. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Galatians, again, 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Again, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. It goes on. And it says this, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, okay. There was jealousy in there, fits of anger in there, drunkenness. Man, I was like, oh, man, I'm just racking them all up, right? Pretty sobering. Well, yeah, it is sobering that the next day. No pun intended there. But it is pretty sobering when you come face to face going, okay, look at this. Look at these sins. Who's saying it? It isn't man saying it. It's God saying it. Am I going to face the reality? Well, listen to this. Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. Unbelievable. This is what Christ did for us. He died once for all. Not once for some. Not once and for some of their sins. Once for all. God did this so Why? So we can be in relationship again. And like we read earlier, in one glorious, victorious moment in time, all these things, sin, guilt, and death were gone. So if you're feeling like there hasn't been much hope, oh, there is hope. In the midst of the darkness in your life, there is hope. There is so much more for you. And if you would just stop and look and slow down enough and turn towards what is good for your life. God's word is good for us. Yes, it's a hard word. But look, begin to see how it all works. Jesus, he finished it. He conquered it. Thanks be to God. He, Jesus, has covered our sins. He has removed your guilt, the sting of guilt, that gut-wrenching feeling that is in the pit of your stomach. It's coming to a place of saying, yes, I've sinned. I stand guilty as charged, and my sin deserves death. I know what it's like to feel guilty. To know, yeah, I've done something wrong, something seriously, seriously wrong, like big wrong, thinking there's no chance. God, there is life, and it's for you and it's for me because of one act that was done on a cross thousands of years ago. And this man, this God, has done away with it all. He has done away with sin and guilt and death for you and for me. And it's up to you to choose it or not. So people will say, well, we're free. We're free in Christ. We're free in Christ if you choose Christ. Because I know there's still some of you going, no, he is the only way. And God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Paul is telling us that gut-wrenching feeling is gone, and it can be gone for you. If you truly believe in the work that he did, that Christ Jesus did, accept it and receive it, and the sting of it, the pull of it, the weight of it, that you're so closely connected to is gone. It's eliminated. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can choose to believe that or not. I do. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Psalms 32, 1 through 11. Read that. That's for you. That's for me. So a time came much, much later, and I'm going to read this to you. I can remember where I put it. There came a time, years later, where some Jehovah's Witnesses came knocking at my door. When did I write this? I don't know when I wrote this. 2013? No, I think 2013. I used to blog a while back, and a lot of the things that I was processing and going through, that's how I got it out, was just through blogging. And I did a blog. It was a three-part series. It was, one was called 1 hour later, 1 week later, and 1 additional week later. And it had to do all with the encounter of Jehovah's Witnesses coming to my door, asking them to come back a second time. And by the third time, because of the second time, I recognized the women at the door. And I'm not going to read that portion to you, but I had this whole plan happening. And yeah, learned a lot. Always go with God's plan. Don't go with your own plan, because you'll see it just unfold right in front of you and a train wreck happening. But anyway, which then finally the third appointment came with the elders coming to my house in 2013. And it actually took me 9 months from the time that they came to the house to me actually just blogging this out, writing it out. It took me my 9 months to process what was going on inside of me. And so I'm going to read it to you. And it says, "It has taken me 9 months to write this blog because I had to go through some things. Emotions I didn't know I had. Realities I didn't know how to respond to. Hurts I didn't know were still there. Boldness I didn't know I had. Compassion I didn't know was there. Healing I didn't know I still needed. So I say all that to say God is always at work, giving us what he knows we can handle and helping us stretch and grow in such gracious and merciful ways. So let's begin. The specialty coffee was brewing and the pastries ready to serve. My stomach turned and twisted inside of me, all because by this time the elders were 20 minutes past their scheduled time. Had they forgotten? Did they purposefully plan not to show? Was this not part of God's plan? The many thoughts that went through my mind. Peace? Where was my peace? God, why do I not feel your peace? Then the vehicle pulled in the driveway. Peace. It was ever so present. It was ever so calming. It was ever so God. My husband, Mike, and I welcomed them in. They made no eye contact and proceeded to take off their shoes. They shook Mike's hand, but not mine. I introduced myself, and Mike introduced himself. And we asked them to come in and sit down. I offered coffee and pastries. They refused. They wanted to get right down to business. Why have you asked us here, Melissa? Well, for a couple of reasons, I proceeded. One, I wanted to address a topic that is mentioned in the tract that was left here a couple of weeks ago and to share a couple of scriptures with you. Well, let me just start off by saying this, the elder continued. Just like you and I don't defecate differently, so we are different when it comes to scripture. Excuse me, what? I was perplexed. Just like you and I urinate differently, so we are different when it comes to scripture. I'm sorry, I don't know what you're getting at, I said with a great questioning look on my face. Emotions I didn't know I had. Mike jumps in and says, honey, basically, you're not going to agree on the things you want to discuss. Well, why on earth didn't you just say that, brother, I won't say his name, saying with great gumption, Melissa, what is your point in having us here? Well, I want to share some things with you that I found in Scripture throughout the years. Not on my dime, you won't. Excuse me? Look, Melissa, if you are trying to share your points on the Bible, those things we will not discuss. Now, if you want to talk about coming back to the organization and what Scripture has to say about that, then we will gladly discuss those things in the Bible with you. well, I'm not coming back. I will not become a Jehovah's Witness again. And regarding 1 Corinthians 5, 10 through 13, the scripture you use to back up this fellowshipping, also known as shunning, this is referring to people who have left following the true gospel of Jesus, his truth, and his ways. While I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses, I was never taught the truth about who Jesus really was. So therefore, that scripture does not apply to me according to God's word, because I have just found out who Jesus really is and the truth of who he is. So technically, I'm not disfellowshipped. Oh, how convenient for you now, isn't it, in the way you interpret the scripture? After 2 hours of scripture ping pong, we stumbled. No, not stumbled. God directed. We came to Matthew 18, 15 through 16. I shared with tears how I knew, even as a child and as a young teen, not to present my case based off of this scripture. I knew the two witness rule. I knew not to bring reproach on Jehovah's organization. I knew that perhaps Satan planted those thoughts in my mind and I wasn't serving Jehovah enough. Even though my abusers were not within the organization, I knew that my sexual abuse cases were hopeless cases, for I knew what I would be told and what I would be denied. No reports made to authorities, no action taken. Leave it in Jehovah's hand. He will avenge in due time. And a mother who said, well, you must have done something wrong for them to do those things to you. Hurts. I didn't know were still there. My fate, living a life in shame, as the final moments came winding down to a finish of those moments of my life, tears were shed by both elders, and I'm sorry's were said, something I never expected to happen. Realities I didn't know how to respond to. As conversation went back and forth about my disfellowship and how matters were handled, yet more apologies were given. Sincerity? Yes. There was great sincerity in their voices and faces. Again, realities I didn't know how to respond to. As our conversation came to the final closing 20 minutes, I explained who I am now, a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, and that he is my Lord and Savior, and that I wanted to share with them the hope that I have and how I have discovered that Jesus is truly God. The elder self-righteously interrupted, are you asking me to say that Jesus is God? If that is what you are trying to get at, no, I will never agree to that or say that. Believe we will all stand before God one day, right? Yes. And you believe we will all have to give an account for our life here on earth, right? Yes. So what if by chance, I'm using my imagination here, brother so-and-so, what if God replays this very moment before our very eyes? Then what? What if today is your only day to be given the chance to accept Jesus? Boldness I didn't know I had. No, never. I will never do that. Compassion. I didn't know was there for people that in their minds think, I am of the enemy. Well, thank you both for coming. I appreciate your time. Given both of their cell numbers to contact them in the future if I had any questions about returning to the organization or their doctrine. Emotions came when analogies were given in such disgusting ways. Realities that this really was once my life and God is using what was intended to harm me and is making it for good, all for the saving of many lives. Genesis 50:20. Hurts that I still felt on how my mother handled my abuse situations. Boldness to speak scripture in truth and in love and without compromise. my husband saying, honey, I've never seen you flip through scripture like that and know just where to go. You were so bold. In all honesty, after we closed the door, I turned to him first and asked, did I even pull out my Bible? I felt like I was all over the place. Compassion. When they denied Christ, I thought about their souls and my mom's soul. My heart broken in great compassion for a nation of people that don't even know they are lost. Healing. Another piece of healing came when they apologized on how the abuses in my life were handled in the organization. Healing comes from God. Healing is a decision. Healing is a choice, one you have to make. Healing is taking responsibility for your life. Healing takes time. Healing is work. Healing is a long road, but one we must never stop walking. Healing, don't go it alone. Healing takes faith. Healing brings soundness of mind. Healing is redemption. Healing is complete in Jesus. Healing is victory. Healing brings compassion. Healing makes you whole. And I want you whole. And Jesus wants you healed and whole. And that's why we're here. That's why we have existed here in this place, to always bring you from a hurting place to a healing place, to take what the enemy meant for evil and allow God to take it and turn it into something good. See, the thing is those elders, they didn't understand the freedom that I was under. They don't spirit of God living in them. They didn't understand the conviction that came to my heart and how the condemnation that flew out the window, they don't get to experience that. They get to walk around with guilt, the weight of guilt every single day, wondering if they will ever measure up, if their sorry is ever truly good enough. And Scripture says, well then, Romans 6, 1 and verse 15. Well then, shall we keep on sinning so that God can keep on showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Here's another, it says, does this mean that now we can go ahead and sin and not worry about it? For our salvation does not depend on keeping the law, but on receiving God's grace? Of course not. Of course not. When you come face to face with God and you repent and you accept Him as Lord of your life, the Spirit of God comes in you, and the Spirit that resides within you is the one who will convict you and let you know when you have sinned. And we have the precious gift of going and saying, I am sorry. I am sorry. Because guess what? It's finished. It's done. He says, that's what I died for. I died for your sin. You're forgiven. Go and sin no more. When you love God, when you know that you are so loved by Him, unconditional love, there are things that you just begin to not want to do. Because I know for myself, I don't want to hurt Him. I do want to be different. I want to live for Him. And you begin to change. But like I shared this with you, okay, we originally did this show back in 2016. Okay, I was disfellowshipped back in 1993. And it took me till 2014 to come to this place of releasing all this guilt. Yes, I accepted Christ as my Savior in 2004 and dropped all that. But still, there's a process. And we think we can just, it's over. No, some of these things take process. And it's by being in God's word and reading it and accepting it as your truth, as your lifeline. And you begin to believe it and you begin to stand on it. Like I shared with you, Psalms 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Thank you, God. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover it up. I confessed it, and you forgave me. Thank you, Lord, for that. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. It's called having a circumcised heart. Allow God to come in and circumcise your heart and say, here, take it. Make it new. Make me new again. You are who you are by the grace of God. God is saying, I'm here. I'm here for you today. I'm here waiting for you. Maybe you're not ready today, but I pray today's your day. I pray today's the day that you understand that you can get rid of guilt. Even when you are guilty as charged, when you know what, yeah, I've committed this. You can come face to face with God and acknowledge it. You know, through the course of our lives, we make bad decisions. We make messes in relationships. We run from one problem to go away and cause another problem. The time is now. The time is now. The time is to deal with our mistakes when we make them. The Spirit of God does that. And that's what the other precious thing is. It's accepting Christ. And like I said, the Spirit of God comes in you. That's who you trust. You don't trust man. Someone can sit and point the finger at you all they want. But you know what? I'll never forget the time, too, where I was so mad. I was so mad at someone. And it's just like, God, aren't you going to do something with this person, you know? Like, I want this. You know, get them out of here kind of a thing. And God said, how do you know if they haven't already been to the cross for that? It doesn't necessarily mean we were so programmed and so trained to call out everybody's sin and turn people in. And then it's announced before everybody. Everybody knows everything. That's not how you do things, in my opinion. This is wrong. But you know what? I'm going to trust from this day forward that when I've done something wrong and I'm guilty of something, I'm going to confess it before God and know that I'm forgiven. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit that if I've hurt someone, if I've done something wrong, and God says, you need to go and apologize. There's that scripture that says to leave your gift at the altar as you're worshiping God and you realize you have an offense against someone or wrongdoing, you leave your gift there and you go to that person. I'm sorry. Is everything okay? Is everything all right? I know lots of people don't like to confront, but you can confront in a way that is peaceful and loving and from the kindness of your heart. Make things right. And then there are some things where God, you don't have to, but you can, you repent. And like I said, when God and I had that moment, he said, how do you know they haven't already been to the cross for that? Oh, then who am I to continually offer up my woes and my self-righteousness of pointing fingers? Well, what about them? Why are they doing that? Why are they still doing? No. Excuse me, you don't know. You don't know if they've already come to me and repented for that. That's none of your business. That's my business with them, not you. So the way we were trained and programmed to call all these things out and call people to the carpet and make it known. This is wrong. Your sin, your repentance, your heart. You do it before God. He's the only one that matters. Obedience, if he is asking you to go to someone and seek forgiveness or apologize, be obedient to that. So that is our show, Guilty as Charged equals Disfellowshipped. I was guilty as charged, but I didn't need to go before man and confess my guilt. And thank you, Jesus, that I didn't need to bring a bull or a ram or a goat or pigeon or a dove, grains or quarts of flour. You did it. You did it for me. You did it for everyone that's listening. And I just pray that those that have not received your forgiveness, accepted your forgiveness, accepted you, that they would, that today would be their day. And if you have entered into walking this walk with Jesus, walking the rest of your remaining days out with him, journeying with him, and he in the Spirit is convicting you of something, go to him. Release the guilt. Don't let the enemy have his way. It can be released. It gets released at the foot of the cross. So I thank you for joining me tonight or in the morning or afternoon or whenever it is that you will tune in, maybe the weekend. I hope that this episode was helpful to you. I hope that you look at some of those passages of Scripture and really, really stand on them. Know that it's Satan. He's the one that has a case against each of us. The one that likes to record our sins and bring charges against us. God says no. Mm-mm. I'm freeing them. I have freed them from the courts, from the laws. They're already forgiven. They just need to come to me. And if we can just all acknowledge that we've all sinned and that we all fall short of the glory of God, and that we all do face judgment, we will. But you can go to him today and know that you're forgiven. And Scripture says that he remembers our sins no more. He casts them as far as the east is from the west. Stand on that. Believe that. It's truth. It's in God's word. It's not just something I'm pulling out of the air or some book off my shelf. It's the Bible, which is actually a pretty good book, but it's truth. It's God's truth. And that's, like I said, where I've chosen to stand on. So I know we went a little bit longer tonight, more than our hour. I hope you're okay with that. I've enjoyed it. It was good to go back and do this and just reflect again. Good reminders for me, and I'll be standing on those verses as well. And it was all good. So now I feel all wonderful. My chaotic day has finally slowed down, and now I get to go spend some time with my kiddos and my husband and get them all tucked into bed. So I just pray that you have a wonderful evening, a peaceful evening. Go spend some time with God. Go spend some time with him if you haven't already today. Go do that. Go tell him how much you love him, and he'll let you know how much he loves you. And we will be back here December 11th. Like I said, I don't know if we'll be live or if I'll do a rebroadcast of a previous Christmas episode. I'm not too sure yet. So, but we'll be here regardless on December 11th. So thank you. Have a wonderful night. Remember, as always, I am for you, but greater yet, God is for you. So blessings and good night.